I belong to you, you belong to me. Isn't that good enough? I'm reminded of Peter there on that Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus in his glorified body and Moses and Elijah there, and Peter is enthralled with the ecstasy of it all. And he said, Lord, this is wonderful. Let's just keep it like it is. In fact, let's make this permanent. We'll build 3 houses here. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Peter's not being selfish. He didn't even ask for a house for himself. But let's just stay here and enjoy the glory and the splendor of it all. And what does Jesus say? Peter, you're not thinking God's way. There are people down on the valley, down at the bottom of the foot of this mountain, who desperately need help. We need to take the glory we have seen up here down into the valley. There's a man down there with a demon-possessed son. There are people down there with unbelief. They don't even know if God exists because they haven't exercised faith in his power. Peter, the people who need help. The people who need the glory. The people who need healing. And we've got to go down there and take this glory into the valley. But the bride isn't into going down into the valley. She doesn't want to respond to the call. In fact, she says, verse 17, until the daybreak, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or young hind upon the mountains of Bether. She's not prepared to go with him. She's saying, basically, let's wait till morning, another time. She's not heeding his call. She's delaying her obedience and her response to his call. Wait until the shadows flee away. Then I'll come with you. Oh, it's too dark to walk among those mountains and hills. Let's wait till we can see Bether. The word Bether means separation. And by her refusal to respond, to heed his call, she establishes a wall, a mountain of separation between her and her beloved. She didn't want to be with him in his circumstances. So she loses the sense of his presence. Now, as a believer, we know that the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, never leaves us. Haven't there been times in all of our lives when we lost the sense of the reality of his presence and we wondered, Lord, where did you go? Where are you? And that begins to be the heart cry of this bride. As she's deprived of that inner sense of his presence, she realizes that she's lost what she had in the bedchamber because she wouldn't go with him out into the circumstances of life and his victorious resurrection power. So as we come to chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we see the bride in pursuit of intimacy with the one she loves. The bride in pursuit of intimacy with the one she loves. Now notice the steps that she goes through to find him, to get the relationship restored. Verses 1 through 3, we see the separation and how painful it is to her. In verse 1, she first seeks him nearby, close at hand. By night, literally during the night times, not just one night, but for a period of time, in the night times, I sought on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. She seeks him first close at hand. I sought him on my bed. Basically, she's saying, I'm not going to make a lot of effort. I'll just stay right where I am and hope to have the joy and the fellowship restored. But she's never going to find him as long as she stays on her bed. Until she is willing to get up, to obey his call, and to make an effort to see that fellowship restored, she's going to remain separated from him. So verse 2, finally she says, I will rise now. Finally, obedient to his call, issued. Many verses before, reminded of the prodigal son, I will arise and go home. It was true of the prodigal, it was true of this bride, that they had to come down to rock bottom before they ever said, I will arise. Those are words of repentance. I will now turn toward him. And she's repenting not of open rebellion. There are probably not many ladies in this room who are openly, blatantly rebellious toward the Lord Jesus. But many, many, many of us need to repent of the sin of neglect. That was the bride's sin. She didn't rebel against him out. outwardly, openly. She just neglected to obey him, to respond to him. So she determines now in verse 2, I will rise. She determines to rise up and go out and seek for him. We will not find him, ladies, as long as we are unwilling to rise up out of our circumstances, to make an effort, to be disciplined in our searching for him. You shall seek me, and you shall find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Prophet Isaiah says, I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. But notice she doesn't find him immediately. I sought him, but I found him not. Let me give you a caution here. Delayed obedience means that I will have a greater difficulty reestablishing that communion and that fellowship with the Lord than I would have had I obeyed immediately. God's a God of grace. He's long-suffering and he's patient. And he's ever willing, when we turn ourselves back to him in repentance and humility, to pour out his grace upon us. But I find that when I have delayed seeking after the Lord, when I have put him off, when I have pushed him to the back burner and other priorities have taken place over him, I can't just snap my fingers and expect the sense of his presence to come flooding back over me again. The way to enjoy continual, ongoing communion with the Lord is to obey him instantly, to be so sensitive to his voice, to follow instantly whenever he calls. So verse 3, she gets up and she inquires of others who know him. She finds others who know him and says, have you seen him? The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? I think the watchmen are a picture of other Christian workers, perhaps, pastors, counselors, a husband. Can you help me find him? And this is an important step. But notice it's not the end of her search. There comes a time when we must go past the pastors, the counselors, the husbands, the books, the tapes, the seminars, and pursue beyond them, alone, until we find him. Verse 4, we see the process of restoration. He pursues further until he is found. You know the tragedy? Most of us give up too soon. We don't find him on the bed. We don't find him close at hand. We don't find him nearby on the street. We don't find him when we ask the watchman. We give up. There are probably dozens of people in this room today who have given up. And I think the story of this bride is given partially to encourage us. Keep pursuing until you have found him. Don't give up. He will be found. There is restored, renewed fellowship and communion and oneness and joy and fullness available to you. Don't give up until you have found him. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him. The perseverance paid off. And she said, this time I held him. I would not let him go. This is a different tune from the bride who, verse 17 said, turn, my beloved, and you be like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains. Go your own way. I'll come later. And now, having experienced the anguish of that separation, she clings to him. She embraces him, I think, a tighter embrace than the one they enjoyed last night. Because now she's experienced what it is to be without his presence. Her love is more sweet, more precious, more deep, more intimate, more full, because she's experienced the pain of separation. The love has been tested, and now it's even more precious. Many of us experienced this. We came to Christ, and we had that new, fresh honeymoon love. And then came times of failure, disobedience, neglect. We got so far from him, and then he came and quickened our spirit, revived us again. And when we came back to that place of renewed fellowship and intimacy, something even more precious and more special. And we do have that desire to cling to him, never to let him go. I held him. I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Ladies, he is waiting to be found. He was never far. But she had to search diligently. She had to persevere. Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, If any man is desperate, if any man is so thirsty that he can't go on without water, let him come unto me and drink. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Are you needy? Come to Jesus. Race into his arms and find there the full, abundant provision for every one of your needs. Ladies, these are not just words. He is real. He can leap upon the mountains and skip upon the hills of your personal life. There's not a circumstance you're facing that is too difficult for him to handle. He is bigger than that husband, bigger than that financial need, bigger than that physical pain. He may not change that circumstance, but he will enable you in union with him to leap upon those mountains and skip upon those hills. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. Psalm 18 says, he sets me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, to stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. The hymn writer said it this way, oh, why should I wander, an alien from thee, or cry in the desert for bread? Thy foes will rejoice when my sorrows they see, and smile at the tears I have shed. Dear shepherd, I hear and will follow thy call. I know the sweet sound of thy voice. Restore and defend me, for thou art my all, and in thee I will ever rejoice. I want us to sing together a hymn before we go into this quiet time with the Lord. Number 202, hymn number 202. I'm going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth stanzas. And as we sing, we're going to remain seated. As we sing, I want to extend an invitation to you. If you find yourself today where that bride did, separate from the presence, the sense of the presence of her beloved one. Perhaps because of little foxes that have spoiled the vine. Perhaps because of neglect. Perhaps because of disobedience. Not heeding his call. There's an invitation for you. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. The prayer room is open. I want you to feel free as we sing to respond to the Lord Jesus, whatever he's saying to you. Perhaps to meet him alone in that place of prayer, perhaps just to kneel there at your seat. Whatever God says to you, perhaps someone else in this room that you need to go speak to. I remember at one conference like this, God brought two ladies from two different churches who had been associated with each other as a pastor's wife and associate pastor's wife in a previous church. There had been unresolved conflict between the two husbands and between those two wives. They didn't even know the other was coming. God brought them together and brought humility, repentance, reconciliation between those two sisters in Christ. Perhaps someone that you need to find and seek forgiveness. Mary that you need to confess to the Lord. Whatever it is, as he's speaking to you, we don't want to hurry. Presence of God. Just respond to him as we sing together. Number 202, the first stanza, the second, and the fourth. Many, many, and still in this room, who are in desperate need of experiencing that love. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Aren't you glad? Many, many, who are in need of that mercy and that pardon. I don't know what the need is. I don't know what the area of neglect or failure our sin has been. But let me plead with you, don't delay your obedience. If God is speaking to your heart, will you respond to Him? There's love, there's abundant mercy, grace greater than all your sin. Perhaps you've been blaming other people or circumstances for the spiritual dryness in your soul. If only you've been living in a dream world. If only I weren't married to that man. If only this were different. If only I could change that. What is God saying to our hearts today? Take your eyes off of those circumstances, those people who have hurt you, wounded you, disappointed you, failed you. Place your eyes upon Jesus. Recognize that if you are not as close to Him as you once were, it is not because of your circumstances, it is not because He has moved, it is not because He has failed, it is not someone else's fault. It is my responsibility. I have not heeded His call. I have not been faithful in following Him and responding to Him and yielding to Him. We appeal to you. We plead with you. Before we even go on into another session, as we sing that final stanza together, will you respond to Him? If God is speaking to your heart, you do whatever He's saying to you. Let's sing together on that fourth stanza. You know that your relationship with Jesus is as close as it's ever been. Then would you just earnestly, fervently pray for those who are seated around you? And as we hum once more through that verse and chorus, allow God to speak to your heart. Respond to the Holy Spirit, whatever He's saying to you. Let's hum together. God's continuing to move in many hearts. He's speaking to you. Perhaps He's extended this invitation just for you. You know things aren't right between your soul and the Savior. There's a mountain of separation between you. Will you just agree with Him? Yield to Him. Commit yourself to seek Him with all of your heart till He has been found.